The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
I can put the ball in the end zone, put a bad in the friend zone. Sound like an intro, just
Hoffman
song,
Show
give me
on
that
the
tempo.
Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. Scott Jackson's with us for the rest of the show. I'm Craig Hoffman. It's our pleasure to welcome in on the Team 980 guest line, Kedrick Gulston. Big Ked, what's up, man? How are you?
Gentlemen, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. What are you doing these days? Let the people know, like, what average day is. Football season's come around the corner. You used to have to be out there in the swampy heat knocking people around. What do you get to do now?
Well, now I get to tell my sons to knock people around. So I'm enjoying coaching their teams and, just enjoying retirement.
Definitely, definitely. We always appreciate your perspective. And wanted to have you on in the wake of the news earlier this week that the Commanders, obviously the team that you played for, the organization at least you played for a long time, moved on from their defensive line coach, Sam Mills III. When you heard that story, what was your reaction in thinking about what it would have been like to be in that room?
I mean, it's shocked. I mean, I don't want to use – I mean, I'm going to use the word unprecedented for a – organization for a coach to get fired midway through the season, non-off the field issues. You know what I mean? If he would have got in some off the field trouble, that kind of makes sense. So I find the timing of it very interesting. I listened to Ron's comments about, you know, the philosophy was different, but there's a guy in Sam Mills that essentially grew up as a coach under Ron. You know what I mean? And did it really take you that long to figure out that you all's philosophies wasn't on the same page? So, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the defensive front with all the pedigree, the first rounders that they have, kind of underperforming. I think sometimes they get a little bit of unfair criticism because when they're good, they're excellent. And when the defense is playing bad, you know, they get a lot of the blame. But, you know, for me, it was, as we all know, being inside that building from time to time and hearing people's perspectives, he just seems like he was the, you know, you wasn't going to get rid of the defensive coordinator. You wasn't going to get rid of any of the players. And so, in order to kind of mix up that room a little bit, they got rid of the position coach.
You bring that up, Kedrick, and I'm glad you said it as somebody who played in the league. And to me, it seemed just shocking that it would take this long for them to make that move. I mean, the only thing I could figure, and I don't know what you think about this, is that maybe they had told him ahead of time, here's what we need to see from you, and then in the early parts of camp, they just didn't get it, and maybe somebody else, you know, came to Ron, maybe Jack Del Rio, who knows, or the defensive players, and said, you know, this still isn't working, or he could see it himself, and that's why he decided to pull the cord now. But it is just a strange thing when you think about this late in the preseason this happening.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it goes without saying, right? He was Ron's guy, not Jack's guy. You know, and Jack's orchestrating the defense, he's designing it. And so, you know, those are tough conversations that organizations have to have just on what it looks like. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of different ways to play defensive football, and it's hard when everybody on your staff doesn't see it the same way, isn't 100%. You know, bought. And it's unfortunate. You would have liked to think that those conversations would have happened in the off season. You know what I mean? So everybody could transition and move forward. But, you know, only time will tell. You know, if the defensive front comes out and the Commanders are 3-1, the defense is playing good, we're not going to hear a word about this. You know what I mean? But yeah, as always, if things kind of go south quick, we're going to point back to this moment and really look at it and say, you know, from a leadership perspective, you get paid to make decisions, to be able to look beyond the horizon and have a foresight to understand what's best for your organization. And so, you know, those are tough conversations, tough decisions that people have to make, but you have to make them, and you have to be able to essentially project out where your team is going. And so, but only time will tell. Winning football cures everything in the NFL, as we know.
That is definitely true. Kedrick Gulston with us here on the Hoffman Show. You mentioned he's Ron's guy, not Jack's guy. And I always found that dynamic interesting because Ron comes in as the head coach, known as a defensive guy. Obviously, got in, before he was a head coach, he was defensive coordinator in San Diego, then head coach in Carolina, on and on. But they run different stuff. Like, what is considered a Rivera defense is different than a Del Rio defense. I don't know how much of tape work and stuff you're doing in retirement. And you said you got better stuff to do. You got your own teams you're coaching. But as best as you know, like, what's the difference in maybe some of the stuff that Sam Mills was coaching in Carolina and maybe even was coaching the last couple of years here and the stuff that's traditionally needed in a Del Rio difference? Like, what could that philosophical difference be?
You know, I think it's tough to say without actually. I mean, I could, you know, I watched the tape and you can review it. And, you know, there's obviously there's the 3-4 kind of front to react, attack, react type of thing. You know, I think people say, you know, we on our way, you hear Coach Rivera say, you know, we want to affect the run game on our way to the quarterback. You know what I mean? And in the modern day NFL, with 70% of the time you're in nickel and, you know, if you look at the statistics, 70-80% of the time it's a passing game, you have to be able to affect the quarterback. You know, I mean, historically, you know, when you think of, you know, Jack Del Rio's defense, I think of the monsters he used to have back in Jacksonville when he was the head coach, and Marcus Stroud, John Henderson, you know, all those big, big guys. But then recently, you know, you think of Von Miller and Terrence Knighton and you know, those guys up there. So I think, you know, he's versatile in his knowledge of defense, obviously being in the lead as long as he has and you know, coaching, you know, multiple fronts. But, you know, I think, you know, you can, you know, you can get into the weeds too much with this stuff and saying, like, you know, everybody sees it a little bit differently. You know what I mean? And as a coordinator and as a position coach, it's your job to do what the defensive coordinator wants you to do. And so, and it obviously there was a disconnect there in like Coach Rivera said, their philosophy. And, you know, you can even go back to last year with, you know, the guys fighting on the sideline. You know what I mean? And that is frustration, but that's also boiling over to, you know, ultimately some other things that probably were going on in the meeting room that, you know, I don't talk to people about because I don't want to ever, you know, feel like I'm giving information that somebody told me in confidence. But at the end of the day, you could see the frustration. I mean, and a big part of coaching in the NFL is managing personalities and managing situations in order to get the most out of your players. And so as a head coach, you never want your players fighting, and you want to make sure that your position coach is control of it, in control of his room.
You know, you mentioned that, and I'm sure in your career you probably had a position coach that you maybe didn't see eye to eye with, or another assistant coach. How do you handle that as a player? Because obviously, you know, at the end of the day, they coach, you play, you kind of have to roll with it. But is it very challenging? And, you know, again, we saw the issues with this team last year as it splintered at the seams on national TV, you know, throughout the early parts of the season than in the Dallas game. But can it be something that is ultimately tough to overcome?
You know, like you said, I mean, when you're losing games, it is frustrating. Ultimately, you know, these guys have had a lot of success with different coaches, different schemes, different techniques. And so when you're doing different things that you've never done before and you aren't seeing those immediate results, sometimes there is a level of frustration. But ultimately, you know, a position coach needs to know that they're backed by the coordinator and the head coach. And when I say that is, you know, as a position coach, you're dealing with these guys face-to-face, day in and day out for hours upon hours. And so I'm always of the mindset of, if the players aren't doing what the position coach wants them to do and he's saying the right things and doing the right things, it's up to the coordinator and the head coach to make sure that the players in that room understand the message and know that they have the full force of the coordinator and the head coach, you know, backing them. You know what I mean? Because ultimately, as we all know, in the league, you cannot, you know, there can't be any empty threats. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about releasing players, because those are all first-round draft picks. And, you know, these guys have come from, you know, good programs, Nick Saban-type programs, where they've been coached hard. They do, you know, love playing football. So without being in there, it's hard to kind of see where, it went south. But only time will tell, you know, ultimately the wins and losses in their production, you know, moving forward in the season.
Kedrick Golston with us here on the Team 980. So Mills is out. Jeff Scanina is now in. He was the assistant. We're not going to be able to tell anything on the outside because we're watching the games. And plus, we're not even in preseason game one yet, so it's not like we're going to be able to put a line in the calendar and be like, oh, that's when the production changed. There hasn't been any production yet. There hasn't been any games. But if you're a player and you have any kind of change in mid-season or at this point mid-camp, what's going to be the difference for those guys day in, day out when an assistant D-line coach who has been there steps up into that head role?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, you know, Coach played a long time in the league. He's, you know, he's been around some great defenses. Was a great defensive lineman in his own perspective, and so ultimately, you know, you don't have to play the position in order to coach it. But somebody that's been in the, you know, was in the trenches as long as he has, he instantly, you know, gets that respect from the room. And then also, you know, now we've removed one piece of that puzzle, right? So, and from a player standpoint, hey, we got to get this thing done. You know what I mean? They got rid of our coach because they're saying that this group is underperforming. Now it's up to us to go in there and perform up to the level that, that we think we're capable of doing. And then, you know, honestly, you know, if a coach will fire a if Coach Rivera will fire the defense and Sam Mills in the middle of the preseason, then, you know, who's next? You know what I mean? So I think it's just everybody kind of locking in, focusing back in on what's important and understand that, hey, we removed this distraction for whatever reason. You know, was it his fault? Was it whose fault? It doesn't matter at this point, but that's a message to the D-line, to the team, that we need more out of this group. You know what I mean? That's where I would tell you, because ultimately, you know, from what you read and what you hear, you know, he did not consult the players before he made that move. But the overall theme of it is we need more production out of this group. So you all need to figure this out and get it going. And I think the assistant coach, and I think having Ryan in the building, somebody who has always been a leader since day one, he stepped in there to be able to kind of help those young guys out in a way where they appreciate that he's giving them, you know, he's saying the same things probably that the coach is saying. He's just saying in a different way for them to really understand it and see it from the player's point of view, him just stepping off the field this past season. So, you know, ultimately, you know, you hope it was the right decision, but only time will tell. And, you know, we'll look back at this moment either and, hey, Coach Rivera made the right decision, or, hey, the season didn't work out the way it should have.
Kedrick, I got to ask you about the offensive side. I know you're obviously still very in tune with this team. Your impressions of Carson Wentz when you're a player, going against him, and now obviously, you know, seeing what you've seen, the guy, you know, third team, third year, and just how this team obviously is trying to reinvent him and, you know, build that confidence up and keep it extremely positive. What are your thoughts on how this process has turned out with Carson Wentz here so far?
You know, I think for Carson, I mean, you know, his 2017 season was as good as I think, you know, we've seen in a long time. You know, it was impressive, his strength, his agility, how he could throw, you know, the ball, and, you know, from injuries to, you know, multiple teams, you know, we really haven't seen a quarterback with his track record, with him being drafted as high as he was, having the success he had, be on his third team in, you know, in 3 years. So to me, you know, it's not the physical with Carson. You know what I mean? For me, it's, you know, how is he going to respond? How is he going to relate to his teammates when things go bad? How is he going to navigate those different types of situations in order for his teammates to endear them? To, he needs to endear himself to his teammates. And so we know he's capable. We know he has all the talent to, you know, to do it, to make all the throws and so on and so forth. So I think for me, you know, when he's good, he's really good. You know, and when he makes some plays where you just scratch your head and say, you know, everybody in the stands knew if you just would have threw the ball away there, or you just would have took the sack, you know, let the defense play. And so I think, you know, this league, the one thing that I know about this league is it will humble you. It will force you out of your comfort zone and make you mature, or to get rid of you. And I think with him being in a whole nother system, not being familiar with his coaching staff, it's going to force him to really, you know, improve as a player, and not to, let's not go to the highs at a high at a high and the low at the lows, but let's get some consistency as an organization at that quarterback room so that we can build around that. I think they've done a great job with adding weapons around him, you know, giving him a little bit more in the running game, and, you know, just go out there and, you know, make the play when it presents itself. But you just can't make the boneheaded play, because with a team that has as much talent on defense, you want to give those guys an opportunity to go out there and play as well. And, you know, there's one statistic in this league that you can't argue about, it is turnovers. And if you look at the turnover ratio, the team that doesn't turn the ball over and creates turnover, those are the ones that more times than not win football games. And so that's just the one statistical category where you want to win that every single week.
Yeah, and for Carson, that was definitely true last year. He was pretty good through 15 games. In the last two, he had a bunch of turnovers, and yikes, went the Colts season. How hard is it, especially as you got it later into your career, you've been around, you're paying attention, you know, to what's going on elsewhere in the league. Is it, because like you just give this really incredible answer on like who Carson is, right? And I think about if you were in that locker room trying to be present and not play pundit, right? Like there are guys in that locker room that pay attention and know what Carson did in Indianapolis. They know what he was in Philadelphia, and they have to then go out and try to be present and not prejudge him at all based off the good or the bad. So how hard is it, especially as you get later in your career, to stay present in the moment and just kind of take in information and not bring in any preconceived notions from what you may have seen for especially a guy like Carson Wentz at the quarterback position previously?
Well, I think if we're being honest, right, I think we all give people the benefit of the doubt, right? And so, hey, I'm going to treat this person like I don't know him, and I'm going to deal with him like everything's new. But that's not the reality of the situation. We all talk to different coaches. We all have friends on different teams. And so when you see something and you already know something about a player, it kind of makes you think a little bit, both good or bad. You see what I'm saying? And so we've all kind of heard the rumors and the stories surrounding Carson. That's why it's important that his teammates trust in him and that he goes out there and makes sure that, you know, he's all in with the team, because you will always give people the benefit of the doubt. But when you already know things about them, you don't judge them based off the things you know about them. But when you see something with your own eyes, you can't but help look at it through what people that you trust have already told you. Because, you know, every situation, hey, what was that about? What was this about? You don't really know. But when you have a track record with a player, good or bad, you can't help but, you know, kind of make judgments based off of that. But ultimately, you know, the one good thing about football is that, you know, and it's cliche, but, you know, if you have a bad play, you move on. If you have a good play, you move on. And on the day-to-day, you know, the 53 guys on the active roster, the guy, you know, those guys are so engulfed in what they're doing and trying to, you know, improve their craft and help win football games that there's not much time to think about stuff. You know what I mean? And so ultimately is, are you getting the job done or aren't you getting, you know, the job done? Because you don't have time to, you know, go through, well, what was he doing? What was he doing there? Let's just go out there and try to win football games. You know, and if you hear, you know, it seems like Carson's doing all the right things. And I do think, you know, he has taken a lot of heat this offseason. You know what I mean? And right, wrong, or indifferent, that's just the fact of the matter. And so he has a great opportunity. I do believe that those guys in that locker room will rally around him, support him, and let him know, hey, you're one of us now. You're a commander. And like I said, when you win football games, nobody cares about any of the rest of this stuff. And so ultimately, that's what the focus has to be. It's the third year in the Coach Rivera. The guys that were young aren't young anymore. You know, people, the contracts have gotten done. You know, we all believe we have a capable quarterback here that we know can make all the throws from a physical standpoint. So it's up to the coaches and him to figure out, hey, how do we minimize some of those mistakes we've seen in the past? And how do we do that over the course of the season and moving into the playoffs? Because like you said, you know, for a 10-week stretch there, he had great numbers, but you cannot, you know, collapse, you know, down, you know, late in the year, because that's when you should be playing your best football.
Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live on the free Odyssey app, wrapping up with Kedrick Golston. Ked, just more generally, what did you always try to take out of the preseason? I know it's a little different now, three games versus the four when you've played a change over the last 2 years. But what did you try to take out of that first preseason game when you were a player?
Well, I think, you know, it's the first time, you know, in most cases, unless you had a joint practice, to hit somebody with the opposite color jersey. You know, and a player in my shoes, I was able to play 11 years, but I was always a guy, more times than not, was, hey, you know, is he going to be on the roster, isn't he? So you wanted to go out there and put your best foot forward. I know the preseason doesn't count, but ultimately, whether you, you know, when you're doing something, you want to create that muscle memory. You want to understand situational football. So I kind of cringe when people say, well, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter if we win or lose. But if we lose because the guys we're counting on are playing bad, then we're not just going to flip a switch in order to, you know, magically when the opener happens to play better football. And so for me, the preseason about getting in your routine, understanding, you know, you're able to try things, but, you know, the guys that you're counting on, you know, the guys that you believe are going to be on the team, you want them to go out there and play well. And you can deal with mistakes when you're trying something, but ultimately you don't want to see those same mistakes. And you want to see the effort, the intensity. You know, big thing for me defensively is now this is the first time where there's no coaches on the field. You know what I mean? You don't – the plays aren't scripted, you know, so it's all new. Are we going to tackle? Are we going to run to the ball? You know, it might go from first and 10 to third and short, and so you haven't been in that scenario yet. So from a mentality standpoint, you play first and 10 different than you play third and short. And so to be able to go through all those mental gymnastics and understand that, hey, I don't just have four plays and then I'm out to the sideline getting Gatorade like a training camp practice is. This is real football, and I think you should go into it with that mindset of, hey, I'm only playing 12 plays. No, you need to prepare yourself to go out there and say, I don't know when I'm coming out the game, so I'm going to play it as if I'm playing the whole game, because when you get to week one, you know, you don't want to mentally get fatigued because you haven't taken yourself to the place you need to be in order to go out there and play at a high level.
Kedra Golson played over a decade in the league, all with Washington. This was fantastic, bro. We will definitely have you back sometime soon. Very much appreciate the time today.
Thanks, Ked.
And good luck with the kiddos practice.
Hey, y'all have a good one.
Kedra Golson, everybody. Scott Jackson with us today on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. I love that at the end. You can't go in thinking you're playing 12 plays.
He's right.
You just got to go in and say, hey, it's football time. We're playing.
Yeah, I mean, I hear this all the time from former players, you know, the same stuff. Like, they, you know, even if you're just, like, mentally thinking you're going to play, and then at the last minute they pull a Shanahan and tell you to stand over there and you're not going to play. Like, he used to do that to guys all the time. Like, they're going into it. They had no idea he was going to play until the last minute. You know, and they had some idea, but you know what I mean. But, you know, he would kind of at least get them warmed up on the field and they get going. So, yeah, I'm and that's a great point about the three or four plays and you're getting Gatorade, because that's what training camp is. Like, you're not taking, you know, a 12-play drive reps, right? Like, you're doing three or four, and then you're rotating out. You know, there's not those scenarios, even when you're going offense, defense, with these long, prolonged drives where you might be sucking wind and you're, like, trying to rush in the subs or whatever, you know, or you're stuck out of the field if you're going against Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that, you know? So it is a great point. You know, you gotta prepare yourself somehow, and I know – it's dicey. We saw what happened with the Ravens last year here with J.K. Dobbins, but they also had a bunch of non-contact injuries at practice. And we saw it with Fitzpatrick, as you mentioned before. You know, hey, we're healthy going into the regular season. You know, second quarter, boom, your quarterback is gone for the year. I mean, it's crazy.
Right, and that's the nature of the league. And, you know, it was interesting hearing Dan Campbell talk about that at the start of Hard Knocks. He has Pat up on the first day they're eligible, and they're going live. And he's like,
yeah.
The research says, and look, I haven't gone behind Dan Campbell and looked at the research, because while I do some training, right, I'm not a football coach. But, you know, the idea of, like, progressively overloading volume of any kind makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure that there is research that backs that up. Unfortunately, like, playing football, there's always injury risk. And so how much of it is the right amount, what's tolerable, all that kind of stuff. But from a mentality standpoint, and to go through the mechanics of warming up, and, like, if you're a new player for the Commanders, FedEx Field last week was your first time.
Right.
So, like, for Carson Wentz going out there, like, he knows where the visitor's locker room is, but, like, what's the warm-up routine with the strength staff? Like, how do you guys do this stuff? So that actually, the mechanics of it all are also something worth practicing, and, you know, that is where some of the benefit of preseason is, beyond the five plays that Terry McLaurin might play. Although, Ron did say they're going to play a little bit more than that today. That is part of what you'll hear in our training camp 5 at 5, the best five things from the podium. I don't think we can actually play all of Tressway's press conference. I wish we could, but we will play some of it for you next. I promise you it's worth it.